This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, on to our first story this hour. Recently, we saw a scholarship advertisement by a private hospital in Kedah that was deemed racist on social media. So the ad was basically about a scholarship that the hospital was hoping to sponsor. And what it said was the hospital would prefer to sponsor Chinese, Siamese, Christian and Indian applicants.
So in response, Dr. S. Ramakrishnan, chairman of the Johor Consumerism, Human Resources and Unity Committee, said the Human Resource Ministry should introduce a new policy to prevent employers from hiring workers based on race and religion. Ramakrishnan believes that it would help stop employment discrimination and promote healthier competition. He also said that hiring based on race and religion is very un-Malaysian, though he did make the distinction between hiring for language skills, which can be learned.
And the hospital has, of course, since apologised for the advertisement and taken it down, but I think it is still available to look at because the internet never forgets. So for this, I suppose, there are two issues here, right? One is the ad, which I think is just very poorly worded. It's one thing to say perhaps that you were looking to sponsor groups that you felt were more needy, but the way it's phrased is really questionable.
Yeah, so I was looking at the ad and I was wondering if it's actually racist because maybe they're just looking for staff to deal with, maybe they're just looking for staff that deals with the communities that are nearest to the hospital. Of course, I can't say where exactly, it's Pantai Hospital based there, but I can't exactly say who the demographics are of that place.
So that's the thing, right? One element of it is a scholarship ad, but the other element is a policy to kind of work against job discrimination, which is what is being suggested by Dr. S. Ramakrishnan. And it comes down to this. I wonder how often hiring for the needs of the job can come across as discriminatory and vice versa, right? The lines can be very blurry, especially when it comes to the issue of language. The last time we spoke about renting out houses and how renting out rooms or houses and how sometimes there are discriminatory ads placed when you're looking for tenants, a lot of the messages that we received came through pointing out the issue of language, how sometimes you just want someone in the house who might be speaking the same language as the landlord or who is easier to communicate with. And on the one hand, I see that, you know, you are looking for somebody who fulfills your needs, especially in a job setting. You want somebody who can hit the ground running. You want somebody who requires perhaps less training, and that might include language. But how that's worded sometimes comes across as incredibly discriminatory or limiting to only a certain group of people who speak the language.
So I also wonder if then the point of it was maybe to diversify their workforce. I'm not defending their actions here, but I think maybe they just failed to properly explain the context. And yeah, if that's so crucial to what they were trying to do instead, and now they've taken the step to just apologize and remove the ad. I don't know where they're trying to head to with this particular context.
Some would also argue that hiring for gender parity or racial diversity, for example, is discriminatory because at a certain point, you are looking to hire based on perhaps a quota, right? When you place something like 30% within your workforce, then that's going to be something that you're looking for. On a very, very, basic level in Malaysia as well, with people having different public holidays and different festivals to observe, it can be problematic if your entire team comprises only one race, because then everybody needs to take off to Balik Kampung during Raya or to do the same during Chinese New Year. It can be difficult. So that conversation about hiring for the needs that you have versus, being discriminatory, it's a difficult one to kind of get a full picture on, I suppose. So we're going to be speaking after this with Dr. Jashpal Kaur Bhatt, who is a retired associate professor at the Faculty of Law at UITM. And that will be coming your way after this. But we would like to hear from you as well. How important is context in hiring? Do you think that we need a policy against discrimination when it comes to jobs? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are talking about a push that has come from Dr. S. Ramakrishnan, the chairman of the Johor Consumerism, Human Resources and Unity Committee, suggesting that the Ministry of Human Resources should introduce a new policy to prevent employers from hiring workers based on race and religion. So we've been asking you whether or not you think a policy like this is necessary, as well as, I suppose, how much of it is job discrimination versus hiring for the needs that you have within a company, especially when it comes to things like language. Call us and let us know, 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Karen says, on the subject of racial discrimination, the government should take the lead and remove race when it comes to all forms of documentation.
And our next message says that merit is everything, and it comes from Shannon.
Merit is everything, but I think when it comes to context for what the job is, it also depends. I mean, yes, of course, merit goes above everything else. Qualifications are super important. But when you're hiring for a specific need, I wonder how much things like, I'm just going to come back to language because that to me is the most immediate one. How much issues like language come, especially when you're working in a service industry and you happen to be servicing a community that speaks a certain language almost exclusively sometimes.
And I think to address merit in a different way as well, it's that how is merit measured equally across all factors, regardless of whether it's race or gender or, you know, qualifications, right? Then, yeah, I'm not sure if the ground is always equal for it to always just consider merit, because then, you know, everyone would be leveled up equally, but it's not the case here.
Well, Trevor says, language and discrimination are two different things. Do not bring race and religion into business. Individual skill sets and business requirements are the priority. It's nothing to do with discrimination. Meritocracy is the only way to go.
Yeah. Again, going back to the point, I'm not sure if yes, but we have to consider that there are maybe other factors at play that may cause either microaggressions or just like the offhand parts of discrimination that we are talking about here.
And we've got some callers on the line. First up, we've got Joyce. Joyce, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Hi,
do you say?
Good evening. Hi. In the organization I'm working, my team does hire based on capabilities rather than, you know, race or religion. A case in point is that we want to serve a certain community, and that community requires a certain language requirement, right? So without naming the community, we do want to hire based on the language skills, like, for example, Mandarin or Hindi. So it's not about, what I wanted to say is that it's not about religion or race. It's more like the requirements of the business itself. And that would spur the hiring requirements when we look for candidates.
But when I completely understand that, and I think that speaks to what we were saying earlier. I think for me, the question then is, when the hiring language goes out, right, in job descriptions, in ads and so on, could it potentially come across as discriminatory, or is that kind of language requirement quite clear and distinct from everything else?
The language thing is pretty tricky, right? In Malaysia, we learn like dual languages or triple languages. But the candidate has to prove that, you know, far more than just language. You've got to have the skills to handle the problems of the business of the day.
Mm.
So you putting a very strict policy, you know, to say that, you know, you shouldn't be discriminatory. Let me tell you that hiring managers and also the HOD of the business, they may not tell you, but they have those requirements set in their hearts already. So they may not even want to put those requirements up. But then when they screen the candidates, they already know. So you can call it discriminatory or not, but then that's the actual practice of the business.
Joyce, thank you so much for calling and for giving us that on-the-ground perspective. Now we've also got Rama on the line. Rama, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening. Top of the Fridays to you.
And to you.
First of all, we should make it illegal to put out any of these ads on a discriminatory basis, meaning to say we should have a strong anti-discriminatory law. Now, having said that, I recall I come from the government service and I'm retired now. The government service always used to discriminate, but it was an unwritten rule. So on the selection basis, I can say any organization can put up their straightforward advertisements without being discriminatory, especially like in Malaysia, you must just state the competency skills required. And of course, you can also say that added advantage for speakers of Mandarin or Hindi or German or alien languages, whatever you want. Now, end of the day, you are doing the interview, you are doing the selection. So you may be applying a discriminatory effort in your process of recruitment, and nobody can stop that. But for God's sakes, let's not advertise based on certain discriminatory descriptions. But there are also jobs which have physical requirements and gender requirements, so on and so forth. That should be applied quite intelligently. That's my piece. Thank you.
Rama, thank you so much for calling. And I think, firstly, those are excellent points, but also raises that issue about cultural... I suppose, while you might have a policy that is very strongly against discrimination, it will take a while to potentially trickle down to actual hiring culture. As Rama points out, you can state it very, very clearly, but when it comes down to it, it's a person who's going to be hiring you.
Yeah, and to think about that also, I think some companies hire based on cultural fit, whatever that might mean, right? Although the policy might state that, hey, we don't really care about all the other factors. We just want to make sure you're a good employee and can fit with us. But what does that actually mean? Does that mean if, let's say, the company is of one race, then do you have to fit within the cultural context of that particular setting?
So we're getting messages that are basically talking about the requirements of the company kind of having to filter through in this way. April, for example, says, the regulator of my industry imposed a racial quota to be met to remain, you know, with the license, which causes the industry to put up hiring ads saying Bumiputra only. Isn't that racist and discriminatory? If language requirements are made illegal, so then these kinds of requirements would have to be eliminated as well.
I've heard of, I've read of circumstances where that sort of quota kind of backfires sometimes, because if it's not specific enough, what happens is that on, I guess, upper level management, it's a certain type of person, it's a certain type of race, it's sometimes type of gender, and then on the lower level, you have another kind of gender and race. So that, I think the 30% senior positions for women, that seems to be more specific than, say, a flat 30% of women.
Y says, I would think that certain groups of people have a misconception about the word language when it comes to discrimination. If a non-Chinese person can speak Mandarin well, then he or she would fit the description of the job. Where's the idea of discrimination? And I agree, but I think the answer there to where's the idea comes from, I suppose, people reading subtext into Chinese speaking only. And you're absolutely right. Anybody could be able to speak Chinese. It is not limited to specific groups of people. But it doesn't change the fact that I think for some people, it does signal something. And for others, you read it a certain way. So it really depends on the intent. But intent doesn't always communicate clearly.
And that we can't also read the intent of the employer. Sometimes they might be using that as a way to be, well, less openly discriminatory.
Yong says, ex-beer company staff, there was no choice but to filter people from certain religions. So there you go. Sometimes it really is just about the requirement of the company. You can keep those messages coming. Do you think that we need a policy against job discrimination or discrimination when it comes to hiring workers based on race and religion? And do you think that would actually work in terms of changing the culture surrounding that? Let us know. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We've been talking about whether or not there is a need to have a policy to prevent discrimination at the workplace, specifically here in terms of you know, from hiring workers based on race and religion. Chua says anti-discrimination against ICERD, anti-discrimination and against ICERD, the irony. Jessica is pointing out that another form of discrimination is age. You know, for those age 45 or more, it can be hard to get a good job.
And I think we are only talking about the level of getting into a job, at the level where you are going for the interviews or sending out job applications. But that discrimination can also happen while you're employed somewhere, you know, just because you've hit a certain age or just because you are a certain gender, you know, you can't rise up the ranks because of that. And that's also a part of the conversation that we need to have as well.
Jay says, I agree wholeheartedly with Rama. Those companies who try to normalize abnormal discriminatory advertising practices need to stop. In the end, the hiring manager is responsible when looking for candidates. Job descriptions should really be more direct and true and, you know, provide better visibility instead of a generic job scope and insert specific language only. Lazy hiring managers and companies tend to advertise this to use it to filter and make it easy with no effort. Keep those messages coming. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and call 7733-2900. Now we're going to be heading to the lines to speak to Dr. Jashpal Kaur Bhatt, retired associate professor of the Faculty of Law at UITM. Dr. Jashpal, thanks for joining us. So what were your thoughts on, you know, the ad that started it all, that scholarship ad from the private hospital in Kedah that did go viral last week?
My first thought initially was, here we go again. So, you know, this is another example of discriminatory treatment at the workplace. Because if as discrimination is denied, it's unfair, unjust, or prejudicial treatment by an employer. So if you look at the advertisement, if it's going to allow only people of a certain race or religion to apply, then applicants who don't fit that criteria are going to be denied employment. So definitely this is a form of race or religious-based discrimination.
How would a policy to end discrimination based on race and religion work?
So an employer-based policy against race or religion is an example of what we call a soft approach, you know, because you're not going by the law. As far as the law is concerned in Malaysia, we don't have a discrimination act, okay? So a policy, if it's introduced by an employer, an anti-discrimination policy, it's a soft approach to tackling such forms of discrimination. And it works by employers introducing policies at the workplace, spelling out prohibitions against such discriminatory treatment. And it will disclose the avenues for the employees to complain and also how these complaints are going to be addressed and the punishment that the employer will mete out if this occurs. But here's my problem with these soft approaches. Surely, when you talk about anti-discrimination policies, they must be just that, anti-discrimination, without stating the grounds. So that if you don't state the grounds, then it means impliedly you're covering other grounds as well. Now, further, the other issue with such policies is they only work to the extent the policy provides, and no more than that. Now, what I mean is that if the employer does not state what extent the policy applies, then it would only go to that extent. If you're only going to say race and religion, it's only that. Then you overlook age, disability, or gender-based discrimination.
So why is a policy like this absolutely needed?
Well, primarily, the main reason why we need such policies is because we do not have any anti-discrimination laws in Malaysia. And when I say laws, I mean statutory laws, the Acts of Parliament. We do have Article 8.2, a constitutional provision that prohibits discrimination against citizens on the ground of, amongst others, race, religion, or gender, and in respect of employment, okay? But the problem with the way this article has been interpreted is that it has been interpreted to only narrowly cover public employment, not private agreements and therefore private employment. So it becomes practically impossible for anyone to challenge in court any form of discriminatory treatment under the protection of Article 8.2. And that is why policies then become an important avenue.
Currently, without any formal policy, what action can be taken against employers who choose to discriminate based on race or religion?
they have very little cause to challenging discriminatory measures in court, okay? But there is the option of reporting these two matters to the Labour Office, you know, to the Director General of Labour, which may choose to intervene. And then the other avenue, as we saw in all these cases, was social media. You know, you get social media is quite a powerful weapon against discrimination and harassment. And then I suppose at the end of the day, if you're talking in terms of effective challenges or options for employees, you really have very little then, you know. And they become ad hoc, piecemeal approaches to tackling discrimination. And finally, the question is, we are coming to that stage, you know, is it time to enact an anti-discrimination act, I'm afraid. That's where we are coming to.
So as we spoke about earlier, the chairman of the Johor Consumerism, Human Resources and Unity Committee, Dr. S. Ramakrishnan, has said, look, some jobs require language skills, but languages can be learned. Could hiring based on language be another avenue for job description? You know, where is the line drawn?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. So the question about hiring employees based on language skills is also another example of discriminatory treatment. But here's the point about how the law deals with discriminatory treatment. Not all discriminatory treatment is unlawful. So discrimination is permitted on certain grounds. For example, even in Malaysia, under Article 8.5, discrimination is permitted on the grounds of protecting the interests of Bumiputra. We call that positive affirmative action. Okay. Similarly, if an employer can justify his selection of employees on the needs of his business, then that requirement of language is not illegal. It is discriminatory, but it's not illegal. So in this case, the employer has to justify his discrimination. So if some jobs require certain language skills and you do not have them at the time of the interview or employment, then you are not fulfilling the employer's work or business requirements, even though you may argue that you could learn the language later. Surely an employer is going to come up to court and argue, you know, that he cannot be expected to wait for an employee to fulfill the job criteria by taking time to acquire that job criteria at a later stage. So the line against discrimination is always drawn against the objective justification test.
So what about the argument that due to the nature of a job, specific requirements are necessary that might lead an employer to hire based on race or religion?
Yeah, so similarly, you know, so to say that the requirements of a job require a person to be of this certain race or religious ground must satisfy this justification test. And we say, as lawyers, prove it. You know, it's difficult to justify these requirements in court. Language, yes. Race or religion becomes another problem, even a harder problem to justify. So many employers have failed as the objective requirement standard is pretty high. But then again, there are also employers who have justified their discrimination on the basis of their business argument case, okay? And thus, employers have succeeded in certain cases.
Dr. Jashpal, earlier one of our listeners, Jessica, raised the issue of age. So, you know, should this policy include other forms of workplace discrimination, for example, age, gender, sexual orientation, appearance?
Now, if you're going to target race or religion, then you're being very limited in your approach. You should really address all forms of discrimination, okay? What about other forms of discrimination? What about age discrimination? What about disability discrimination? And when you do address all forms of discrimination, you know, another aspect of a policy is always the training that you provide to your employees. And this training is beneficial to employers as well, to help them to realize that, hey, when they come up with certain job requirements or job criteria, they themselves could be discriminating against their own employees or in the hiring process case, you know, they could be discriminating against their own employees. Okay, so once you have the training in place, once you put the knowledge in place, then yeah, your policy may be effective, okay, in prohibiting or even limiting the scope of discrimination at the workplace. At the end of the day, it's always up to the employee to deal with discrimination complaints on a case-to-case basis. But I feel this is the danger here. because you are allowing the employer to determine whether it is being discriminatory or not. For me, the better approach is to actually put into place a third-party objective assessor. You know, if you introduce an act, Anti-Discrimination Act, you can introduce an anti-discrimination tribunal to determine whether the employer is discriminatory or not.
Will this policy address discrimination after hiring? Is there any policy, actually, that prevents this from happening or allows action to be taken against employees who do this?
Well, generally, anti-discrimination policies will address the hiring procedure as well as post-hiring, okay? So a well-drafted anti-discrimination policy will cover the whole range of discriminatory behavior, covering the employer, the employees, and even third parties, you know, who come to the workplace. Currently, there is no provision under any law that require employers to introduce such anti-discrimination policies. The ones that do are generally the larger multinational companies, you know, and even some of our more enlightened GLCs and local corporations who value employer-employee relationships based on what we call mutual trust and respect. These are usually the types of employers who will introduce such policies.
And we've been talking about, you know, elements of discrimination that are quite explicit, right? You know, when it comes to race or religion or appearance. But are there less obvious forms of discrimination that might occur, you know, once someone has been hired?
Oh, yeah. Well, it comes back to our understanding of discrimination. Now, discrimination can be direct. Direct meaning you can perceive it, like in the example we gave. A hiring criteria that requires a language or race or religious-based criteria, okay? But on the other hand, there is also what we call indirect discrimination, where the impact of a certain requirement results in discrimination, okay? That unjust or prejudicial treatment. Okay, so I'll give you an example. I don't think it's a very good example because much of it depends on how the employer sees his employees. Recently, we had Chinese New Year, right? What if, and you have the Chinese New Year holidays already given under the public holidays calendar. What if the employee came up to the employer and says, look, sir, I have to go back for my reunion dinner. It's a must among the Chinese. And I would like to leave half a day early, but I will make up with extra work after the holidays. Now, what happens if the employer does not give that employee time off? You know, the employer could justify and say, look, I can't be giving everybody time off just because it's a cultural holiday or religious holiday, okay? So it's going to be hard for you to say, hey, that is indirect discrimination. But if a practice is entrenched and you are not allowed to do that, then I think there would be grounds for you to claim indirect discrimination. You know, a lot of this depends on the employer and how the employee approaches it.
Dr. Jashpal, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. That was Dr. Jashpal Kaur Bhatt, retired Associate Professor of the Faculty of Law at UITM. And we've been talking about whether or not we need a policy to end workplace or hiring discrimination. You can WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Call 7733-2900. We will be back for some messages soon.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are talking about hiring discrimination, or more specifically, whether there should be a policy to prevent it. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So we have this from Tan, who says, let's put it this way. Would anybody cry out that an English-speaking applicant-only ad is discriminatory? If it isn't, then the same should be said for Mandarin-speaking applicant-only ads. It doesn't necessarily mean that only Chinese may apply, but any person who is proficient in those languages are suited for the job. Let's assume the best in people. Why think they have bad intentions?
And I think that's also a very fair point, because for a very long time, and even the narrative that we hear from government leaders is that, hey, you have to learn English because that's what will get you the job. That's what will make us Malaysians competitive. And now I think the same actually can be applied to Mandarin, as China is becoming a stronger economic force.
Yes. In this case, though, I would say why assume the worst in people, or why assume that sometimes people's intentions are bad? I think that comes from having been burned before. I just wanted to say that. I don't think it comes out of nowhere. more often than not, it comes from a sense of, well, I've had this wrong done to me before, so that's where the assumption is being built. And we have an anonymous text that's come through as well.
So for the topic that we're discussing now, my view is that language is just one part of the job requirements. We're asking for language proficiency level for the language required, and that's in some job interviews, whether in speaking, writing, or understanding. It really depends on how the people perceive it. Only a person who is discriminatory will perceive language in as a discriminatory requirement instead of a job requirement. If a restaurant wishes to hire a chef who cooks halal Chinese food, would this be considered as discrimination?
And then we've got this from Madiha. Whatever skills are required and listed on job ads should be pertinent to the job, whether it's language, race, or religion. Any preference or prejudice, though rightly absent, should be exercised at the discretion of the interviewer, but the applicant should have a fair chance at trying for the job if they're qualified for it. And I think that point about being pertinent to the job is so crucial, right? I mean, that's part of the problem with the ad description. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just comes across as, you know, just free of context entirely. And we've got another WhatsApp that's come from Lingish.
To all policymakers and corporations out there, practice what you preach. If they feel the community or organization has issues with racism, language, or religion, and if they want to rectify it, they will have to eliminate the bad apples they have at the moment, or else globalization is just a hoax that humans got attracted with.
And then Ms. Goh says, I think sometimes we're just so drama. Job ads are predictable because they copy what other people do. Then I can also say, hello, don't discriminate qualifications also, because maybe I don't have a degree, but I'm good at the position. The HR department needs to think out of the box, otherwise they will keep recruiting generalists, which I think is such an interesting point that we haven't discussed yet.
Yeah, the fact that if you are choosing to discriminate, you are losing out on a lot of talent that you may have gained just from being open.
And then this from CT, who really just wants to give up. One word, ICERD. It is politically toxic for any policy that touches the word race. After the fiasco with ICERD, maybe we should just focus on educating the next generation and let them fix it. Sow the seeds for the next generation to do what we cannot accomplish. And, you know, CT, I get it, but I also don't want to think that we are a broken, lost generation. I would like to believe that that is not necessarily the case. Lynette, meanwhile, what if unis have too many of one race and need more for diversity? Did anyone ask before judging? And I think that has come up about needs, right?
Yep.
About needs sometimes driving what happens.
Our next message says that all this conversation of discrimination will not end if we have the Bumi and non-Bumi status in the country. There is no advantage to this and it creates more disadvantages. This message comes from Azri.
Meanwhile, Kamaranizam says, why stop at job ads? Should we have policies that certain percentages of employment of certain race or religion or gender or whatever exists in a company? Let's face it, many local companies have, you know, just lower levels of certain races, managers of different races. Until we understand what is discrimination, only then will this go. And that actually calls back to a show that we did earlier about whether or not changes in culture start from policymaking,
yeah,
or whether they start from education. And I think the consensus from that show was that it needs to sit somewhere in the middle, because once policies come out, then you get educated about them.
Yeah. And I think once you you start getting fined, you learn your lesson from being punished also in that as a way to think about it.
So keep those messages coming. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio and call 7733-2900 if you'd like to weigh in. After the 7 o'clock news today, we're going to be talking about the issue of plain clothes officers being good for our safety. We ask why that is, and you can weigh in on that as well. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.